This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, Bloomington, and happy Friday to you, October 2nd, 2015, or Saturday morning, October 3rd. Hard to believe we're in the month. We're in the second quarter of the burrs, if you will. September, October, November, December. A couple of weeks back, Mr. Piller and I were talking about that, and this is not his favorite time of the year, but personally, we're getting into the best part of the year, in my opinion. You get into the cool weather, bonfires, the color in the trees and everything, football season. We're heading into basketball in a couple of weeks. I mean, there's all kinds of good stuff with the burr months, if you will. So hopefully you're able to get out and enjoy it a little bit before it starts getting too cold. We'll give you a forecast in just a few minutes of what's going on across Bloomington and Monroe County over the next few days. Full show Friday, though. Glad to have you here on board with us. Mr. Piller is actually out ill. He's been fighting some kind of cold, flu, something along those lines over the last few days. Excuse me. So hopefully we will see him in the not too distant future. He knows the door is always open and the love is always here. But no Mr. Piller tonight. But we do have Abby Gitlitz, who is going to be in the studio in just a few minutes. I'll give you advance warning. Abby was in the studio earlier this week to record the interview. And the reason being, as she will explain in just a little bit, she has her own show premiering tonight at the John Waldron Arts Center downtown. So that took a little bit more priority than being here at WGCL. But she made time in her schedule to come in and talk to us not only about the show and about her experience as a Hurricane Katrina survivor, which is the theme of her show this week at the Waldron, but also she is with the Bloomington Creative Glass Center, and they are the sponsors, the hosts, the presenters, if you will, of the Great Glass Pumpkin Patch. It's the sixth annual event taking place next weekend, next Friday and Saturday, here in Bloomington. We'll have all the details in just a little bit when Abby is joining us here on the Bloomington Review. In the meantime, though, normally on Fridays, you only get a half hour with us, and then we go into Chalk Talk with Joe Smith. However, tonight's kickoff is at 7:30, so Chalk Talk's at 7. You get a full hour of us tonight, as well as on Saturday morning. Tonight, we've got Terre Haute North at Bloomington High School South. That's the game this evening. And then next week, here on WGCL, it's back to Short Show Friday. We have Southport at Bloomington High School North with a 7 o'clock kick. So 6:30 Chalk Talk next week, 7 o'clock kick. Tonight, though, full hour. We're leading you right up to Joe Smith and the guys here on WGCL. Of course, all of this show and all of high school football is streaming for you and available for you over at WGCLradio.com. Check that out. Click the play button and away you go. And of course, you can follow us at Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. Check us out there. Follow, like, tweet, Facebook, all those different things. And we'll get back to you as quickly as we can. Absolutely. I had a very interesting week personally, and touch on just a little bit of it briefly before we get into local news and everything. A couple of things. Number one is that my cousin, Angie, who is a lifelong Bloomington resident as well, received a wonderful gift this week. Angie is a cancer survivor and received a heart transplant this week up at Methodist Hospital in Indianapolis. She is doing well. Of course, that is a tremendously delicate and extensive operation. She is still recovering, obviously, with that. And just wishing her and her family all the best. She's had a tough road for several years, and hopefully this is going to bring her some new energy and new life and some many, many years to come for her and her husband, Joe, and their two boys. So that was an amazing thing this week. Another thing was that I have a cousin that I have kind of lost contact with and haven't really seen or heard from him in more than 10 years. And, you know, this technology thing and everybody's on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all these different things. I'm in the generation kind of pre all of that. I have all of those things, but I don't use Instagram too much. I tweet occasionally. I'm a regular on Facebook, I'll admit it. But my cousin who lives in Kentucky, this is on the other side of the family, tracked me down and amazing. So we've exchanged some emails and texting and things, and hopefully we'll be able to contact each other on the phone very, very soon. My point of all of this is that it's just an amazing thing when these unexpected events happen in your life, and it's up to you as an individual to determine what you do with it, how you take advantage of it, how you learn from it, how you grow from it, how you share these experiences with people and things. So I'm saying this simply that when you get down and you get frustrated, hey, there are people in far worse situations. There's always someone who's dealing with something a little bit heavier. And those who deal with very heavy things, sometimes you don't even know that they're dealing with it. I say that to remind you to smile, give a helping hand, encourage people because they absolutely need it. And when you can reconnect with people who you haven't seen or heard from in a long time, for whatever the reason may be, and you get the chance to just start back off from square one, it's kind of a nice feeling for sure. Again, facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview will be there all the time. WGCLradio.com, check all of that out as well. There's a packed weekend here in Bloomington, so we'll get to that in just a little bit as well. But a lot of news. We've got your high school sports, your Colts, your football for the Hoosiers and everything. Ohio State's coming to town this weekend. It's going to be a crazy time. Plus, the weather forecast. Joaquin, have you heard of this? Well, we'll talk about that as well when we come back in just a couple minutes. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here in the studio on your Friday night. And don't forget, in just a little bit, high school football coming up here on the program. Joe Smith will have Chalk Talk at 7 o'clock p.m. if you're catching us for the Friday night show. And then after this segment, Abby Gitlitz with the Great Glass Pumpkin Patch will be on here in just a few moments. First, though, your forecast for the weekend. It's looking a little bit wet thanks to Hurricane Joaquin out on the East Coast. Friday night, a 40% chance of rain, cloudy with a low around 48. Then tomorrow on Saturday against Ohio State, 20% chance of rain, cloudy with a high near 58. 20% chance of rain Saturday night as well, a low around 50. And then on Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 67. Highs early in the week next week are in the low 70s. We are in the official kickoff of the fall season, so enjoy it. Start breaking out the sweaters, breaking out the jackets. Doesn't mean winter coats and gloves and all of that just yet, but a layer or two isn't going to hurt anybody at this stage of the game. Some very unfortunate news out of Bloomington on Thursday afternoon. Police said a man and woman died in an apparent murder-suicide in an Eastside apartment complex on Wednesday evening. A 21-year-old woman, an Indiana University junior, died from stab wounds, and a 20-year-old man was found hanged near her body in a common area of an apartment building in the 3100 block of Goodnight Way. That's in the Stratum complex over on the east side of Bloomington. Herald Times reports that Bloomington police were called to the scene at about 9:20 Wednesday evening after a resident of the complex made the discovery in an open-air exterior hallway and staircase at the bottom of the apartment building that houses 20 units. Investigators released little information as of Thursday afternoon, and the case remains under investigation, as well as the names of the dead being withheld until family members can be notified. Also in local news here, on Thursday I had the chance to come on board with Glass and talk with Sue Wanzer from the MCCSC Community School Corporation and talked about the teacher's contract and the raise that teachers received in Bloomington. The Herald Times reports that every MCCSC teacher will get a retroactive raise for the 2015-2016 school year. Now that the school board has voted unanimously to approve a 2-year collective bargaining agreement with the teachers union. This was a unanimous vote, as I mentioned, 222-0, and the MCEA, the Monroe County Education Association, unanimously ratified an agreement that increases the starting salary of teachers from just over $31,000 to $37,000 for the 2015-16 school year. The pay for those who came in under less than the new base salary will be caught up, and teachers already in the corporation will get a boost of $1,500 to their salaries this school year. In next year's school year, the 2016-17, the district's base salary for new teachers will be at $38,500. Now, the agreement also includes a salary freeze if the 2016 referendum does not pass or if the general fund revenue falls below the revenue of the 2015-2016 school year. There's also been initiatives that come into play with this contract for Fairview Elementary School teachers. They will receive a stipend of $5,000 once they've completed 3 years in the school and a $1,000 stipend each consecutive year that they stay up to 6 years. These special initiatives are due to Fairview's high rate of teacher turnover, which attorney Chuck Rubret, who oversaw the agreement and bargaining process, described as dismal. That's his word. Teachers at the school work under state scrutiny because the Department of Education assigned Fairview an F grade 3 years in a row based on the school's low passing rates on ISTEP. So a nice thing for MCCSC teachers there. We had a little bit of Hollywood come into Bloomington in the last couple of weeks. Jesse Eisenberg, who is, what is the movie? American Ultra. That's the recent film that he was just in, has pledged to match up to $100,000 in contributions and financial donations to Middleway House. He's an Academy Award nominated actor, and he took a mission tour, if you will, of the Bloomington Shelter for Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault Victims and Survivors. Saw all kinds of things with the Middleway House that really impacted him, and he said that he wanted to do something with that. And that comes from Toby Strout, who is the executive director of Middleway House. So how does Eisenberg have a connection to Bloomington and this facility? Well, Strout said that Eisenberg has known her family for more than a decade, and in fact, the actor was in a relationship with Strout's daughter for several years, and they remain good friends today. Eisenberg, whose first book of short stories was published this month, it's called Bream Gives Me Hiccups, came to Bloomington a few weeks ago and was really motivated by what he saw and looking forward to this. Now, the Eisenberg donation campaign is in play, but Middleway House has postponed the start of it due to a period of cooperation agreement, as they call it, that they have with United Way, which is a member agency. So still in process, but not kicking off just immediately. Disturbing story out of Olytic, and I'm just going to read what the news station provided. Olytic Town Marshal Bill Allen was sentenced to 2.5 years of probation after he pleaded guilty to a Class D felony charge of dissemination of matter harmful to a minor. Allen turned himself into the Lawrence County Correctional Center November 24th of last year after a warrant was issued for his arrest. According to WBIW, Allen was accused of molesting a then 13-year-old girl between March 2008 and May 2012. Now, as part of the plea deal, the molestation charges were dropped, and Allen admitted to providing the girl with a device, an adult device is what we'll say, according to WBIW. The Olytic Town Council suspended Allen with pay after he was arrested. I'm not really sure where to run with that one much more. And before we head to the break, a unique story out of Bloomfield. Two Southern Indiana electric cooperatives will be getting power from a solar farm that's the second of 10 solar farms Hoosier Energy is developing. Officials with the Utilities District of Western Indiana REMC and Davies Martin REMC joined Hoosier Energy officials Tuesday this week for a dedication of the 1 megawatt solar farm along I-69 near Bloomfield. Now, that farm covers about 10 acres. There are more than 4,200 solar photovoltaic, if I pronounce that right, panels that turn sunlight into electricity and feed that power into the local electrical grid. Now, the solar farm is going to generate power for homes and businesses throughout Greene, Davies, and Martin counties, and the 10 Hoosier Energy solar farms include one planned for over near Ellensville. I don't know where at in Ellensville. I haven't heard that one, but it's a really nice idea, and it's user-friendly, if you will. So let's see what shakes out with that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Abby Gitlitz from the Great Glass Pumpkin Patch is going to be joining us here in just a couple of minutes, talking about the Bloomington Creative Glass Center. I'm telling you, it's going to be fun. Stick around and enjoy it. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes right here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here in the studio, along with first-time guest on the program, Abby Gitlitz, here for the Great Glass Pumpkin Patch. Abby, nice to have you on board.
It's nice to be here.
And I am very excited to hear about this. Julie Warren, who's a friend of mine from Visit Bloomington, recommended you coming on talking about this. She has been to the Great Glass Pumpkin Patch before, and with it being the 1st of October, obviously you get into Halloween and the whole season and everything like that, and perfect opportunity, obviously, to talk about the pumpkins.
Indeed. Pumpkins are on everybody's brain right now, or at least I hope they are.
Well, so this next weekend is the Great Glass Pumpkin Patch on the Courthouse Square, and this is actually a two-day event, correct?
Right. So it's 2 days. This is our sixth year of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the sixth annual Great Glass Pumpkin Patch, and it's a 2-day event. The first day will be Friday, October 9th, and we're going to have a preview. So you can see all 700-plus pumpkins that we will have.
Okay, I'm going to hold on the 700 for just a minute because I want to learn more about 700 pumpkins, but keep on going.
I know, it kind of makes the brain explode a little bit just to think of 700 pumpkins.
Right.
So Friday night, October 9th, we have a preview, which is going to be at the Unitarian Universalist Church on the corner of Fee and the Bypass.
Okay.
And that's from 4:30 to 6:30, and that's just a chance for people to come see all the pumpkins. We'll have them all spread out. You can't buy anything at that point. On the other hand, no one's going to be snatching them out of your hands trying to buy them themselves. So it's just a very low-key time. And it's also a time for people to come learn about the Bloomington Creative Glass Center. So we have our volunteers, our apprentices, people who know what's going on. We'll have all of our tools there so you can see how it works. We'll have examples of the various kinds of things we do. So it's just a chance for folks to come learn.
Okay. So that is on Friday. Mm-hmm. And then Saturday at 10 o'clock?
Nine? Saturday from 10 to 3, we have the actual Great Glass Pumpkin Patch. So what we do is we take those 700 glass pumpkins and we spread them all out on the courthouse lawn like a real pumpkin patch. So we should be on the southwest corner of the lawn, so over there facing the Tap and the Briar and the Burley.
Exactly.
And they're all actually in the grass. So we have some hay bales to put them on, and we've got some real pumpkins to anchor the little patches of it. But you can go and see them. And it's free. It's open to the public. It opens at 10. Folks are welcome to walk around the perimeter and look before that, but nothing actually starts until 10.
Okay.
We do encourage folks to get there early. Last year at 10 o'clock, we had a line that stretched all the way from College to Walnut and then halfway up the courthouse square.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's totally fun.
Okay. So let's get to this, the 700, first of all. You are a glassblower, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I haven't heard about your talents and all that other stuff, but you aren't responsible for all 700, I assume.
Correct. The first 2 years, I actually made all the pumpkins because I was the only glass blower in Bloomington.
Okay.
But we have an apprenticeship program. So people come, it's on-the-job training, they help us make pumpkins, and in exchange, we teach them how to blow pumpkins. Well, we teach them how to blow glass.
Uh-huh.
So this year we had about 45 or 50 volunteers involved in making these. And each pumpkin requires 3 people to make it. So one person gets the glass. We've got this furnace with molten glass, 2,000 degrees.
Wow.
And so they dip a metal pipe in there and gather the glass on the end.
Mm-hmm.
And they put color on it. So they get to choose color.
Okay.
Then they hand it off to the next person who's called the gaffer. And the gaffer is the person who creates the body of the pumpkin, shapes it. So they get to decide what the pumpkin looks like, but they don't get to decide the color. And then the third person is the stemmer. And these are always the new people. So people who have never touched glass before, we can get them in and involved making stems. They gather the hot glass, they shape it, they put color on it. And then we join those two pieces, the pumpkin and the stem, when both of them are above 1,000 degrees.
Okay.
We stick the two together, we make the stem look fabulous, and then once it's done, we put it in a kiln, an annealer, to cool slowly over about 12 hours. And we have been making these for the last 10 months.
Wow.
Yep. So we do it 3 times a month.
Mm-hmm.
And these
3 people that do these different jobs, if you will, on this, do they meet beforehand and say, I want a purple oblong pumpkin? I mean, is it kind of a group effort to come up with a finished product? Or do you, if you're at step number 2, you have to go with whatever person at step number 1 started with?
Well, I will say that the 2 people who get to choose color often communicate.
Okay.
They don't always. So sometimes we have some really interesting color combos that I personally would not have chosen, but there you go.
Right.
But yeah, usually the person who's starting will say to the stemmer, I made this one orange with blue spots. And so the stemmer will look at the colors, and we usually have about 10 options per time.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll look at the 10 colors and say, I think this would go with it. The person who's actually creating the body of the pumpkin has no decision-making power when it comes to the color. They get what they're given.
Okay.
So it's very collaborative, and it's fun, too, because each time we go up, there's a different grouping. So one time I might go up with Thomas and Sonia, one time I might go up with Diana and Amy, and each of them have different skills, different ideas of what's a good color palette.
Mm-hmm.
So each time you can see the personality of the people involved reflected in the pumpkin, and they're all different.
Oh, my word. We're talking with Abby Gitlitz. She's with the Great Glass Pumpkin Patch, which is part of the Bloomington Creative Glass Center. And we'll talk about that more in just a couple of minutes. Are these pumpkins hollow? I mean, obviously they're glass, but they're not like a paperweight solid, I'm assuming.
Right. We do have a few small ones that are solid, but most of them are hollow. They range in size from the size of an apple to the size of a basketball. Mm-hmm. So imagine how heavy something the size of a basketball would be if it was solid glass.
Absolutely.
And I'm strong, but I'm not strong enough to do that all day. So yeah, they're all hollow. And one of the cool things about them being hollow is it means they catch the light in a very different way. Mm-hmm. So they glisten and they almost glow from within. Also because they're hollow. I know some folks who stuff the inside with Christmas lights.
Oh,
So it actually glows from within.
That was going to be
really
my question.
Cool.
Are these stems, as you call it, but are there lids to these that are removable, or how would you put lights inside of one?
The bottom has a small hole in it.
Okay.
That's where the pumpkin was attached to the pipe when we made it.
Mm-hmm.
So all the pumpkins have a small hole. Some of the holes are pinprick size, but some of them are an inch or two across, so you could actually put something inside it.
Okay. Obviously, the transportation from the church on Friday to the courthouse is kind of like carrying the wedding cake, if you will. So
yes.
How do you guys manage that? Or am I asking a trade secret?
No. The answer is lots and lots and lots of newspaper.
Okay.
So after the preview on Friday night, we will have a team of 20 people who wraps up every single one of those 700 pumpkins, puts them in boxes, puts them in cars, and then the next morning we have to unwrap all 700. And then as people buy them, we wrap them again. And currently they're all wrapped up in my basement in boxes. So each pumpkin gets wrapped and unwrapped at least 3 times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do the artists sign these, or are they able to inscribe, a GGPP kind of thing, 2015 or anything?
What we'd like to do at some point is have a stamp. So when the glass is molten, we could actually stamp in there BCGC. We don't sign them because each one is a collaborative effort. We don't have individual artists sign them. We do have some that are made by individual artists within our group. So some of them are signed, and those are people who go on their own, rent their own time, make their own pumpkins, and add them to the patch. But by and large, because, again, each pumpkin has at least three people involved, it's not one person's piece of art.
This is amazing to me. I mean, I've been to like craft fairs before and I've seen where somebody's doing it, but the ability to do 700 all unique and everything. I'm very curious where you got the idea, but I'm going to wait until we come back from the break to talk about that. And then I also want to know more about the Bloomington Creative Glass Center. And I understand that the proceeds from this event kind of go towards that. Am I right?
Exactly.
Okay.
All the proceeds go to helping us start a facility here in Bloomington.
We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break and a lot more. But again, mark your calendars for next Friday and Saturday for the Great Glass Pumpkin Patch. We'll put it all up on our Facebook page, all the details and times and everything as well. But more with Abby Gitlitz here in just a minute here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here in the studio along with Abby Gitlitz from the Bloomington Creative Glass Center. We're talking about the Great Glass Pumpkin Patch taking place 2 days, next Friday, the 9th, at the Unitarian Universalist Church, which is out on Fee Lane and the bypass. And this is from 4:30 to 6:30, as Abby mentioned. It's kind of it's a preview. You can't buy anything. But the big event is Saturday, the 10th, starting at 10 o'clock, Monroe County Courthouse. Rain or shine, cash, check, charge card, no magic beans or anything like that, I know. But before we took the break, we were talking about, let's talk about the pumpkins and the sale. Are we talking very expensive? Is there a wide range of prices? How does the pricing?
There's a huge range.
Okay.
So the cheapest ones are $25, and the single most expensive one is $300.
Okay.
But most of them are in the $30 to $45 range, so they're very affordable.
And as we mentioned, there are no two alike, and there will never be two alike, because the number of people that are touching them all have their own fingerprint, if you will, on these things.
Exactly. And what's interesting is we all have our opinions as to what's a pretty pumpkin. So Every year there are a few that I just think are ugly as sin. And I'm always shocked when they go first and someone clutches it to their chest. They're so excited yes. for it because they have the best one. And I think, I'm so happy this pumpkin is going to a good home. And then there are ones that I think are gorgeous that sit around for a while. So it's great because there's something that appeals to everyone.
Absolutely. Okay.
And they're every color.
How did this idea come about?
So this was actually the brainchild of folks in the Bay Area Glass Institute out in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. They started this in 1999. And in 2000, one of the members of Baggy brought it to MIT, which is where I was working, blowing glass and teaching. And so MIT took it on, and it was their fundraiser to fund their programs for the year. Mm-hmm. This year, MIT just had their patch. They had 2,000 pumpkins.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was in Boston and did that for 4 years. And then I left Boston, moved to New Orleans, and then kind of worked my way around the U.S. But when I came back to Bloomington, I moved back to Bloomington in 2009. I'm a local. I'm from here. Mm-hmm. But I moved back in 2009, and I knew that I wanted to start glass in Bloomington because there's nothing here. There are stained glass artists. There are torchwork artists who do beads and Ryan at Volta Glass. Mm-hmm. But there's no one who does glass blowing. And I knew I wanted to start something. So I needed a way to raise the money in order to start a glass studio here in Bloomington. And the pumpkin patch was a proven method of raising funds. So we did our first one in 2010, a year after I moved back.
Okay.
And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to raise money to open an all-access glass studio here in Bloomington.
So taking one step back real quick, the mm-hmm. Bloomington Creative Glass Center, what is it to get to the point of the studio?
Sure. So the Bloomington Creative Glass Center is an all-access glass blowing group that offers classes. It offers high-quality, low-cost glass arts education.
Okay.
That's the mission of the Bloomington Creative Glass Center. We're a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. We don't currently have a facility in Bloomington, so everything we do is up in Indianapolis. So we commute on 37 through all of that.
Yes.
Once or twice a week. Our goal is to open a studio here in Bloomington. So all of the proceeds from the Great Glass Pumpkin Patch go back to us opening a studio here in Bloomington.
Okay.
And our goal is to open in January 2017.
Great.
So we're going to be starting a major fundraising campaign in early 2016. So everybody mark your calendars, look for that, donate.
Uh-huh.
Because it's not cheap. The thing about a glass studio is you've got this ginormous furnace, 300 pounds of molten glass inside that's kept at 2,000 degrees, 24/7. So regardless of whether someone's blowing glass or not, I've got this furnace at 2,000 degrees. Mm-hmm. It costs a lot to keep that running.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to raise the funds to get that started here.
Are you, when you talk about glass blowing, and I'm going to be the naive goof here for a moment, but you know, I've seen where people have the long tube, if you will, and start mm-hmm. with not like a light bulb, but you know, a small piece that kind of blows up as a bubble almost. I mean, is that the same kind of thing that you guys do, but obviously on a much higher scale?
Well, there are a couple different things people mean when they talk about glass blowing. One is torchwork, which is where you are using borosilicate glass, which is Pyrex.
Okay.
And you have a small torch in front of you, and you are heating the glass in that small torch in front of you, and you can hold the glass on its ends and heat the middle. And you'll often see people making beads this way, ornaments, small decorative pieces. That's mm-hmm. torchwork. You can also blow that glass to inflate it, but it's still torchwork.
Okay.
What we're doing is what was invented by the Romans back in about 50 CE. So this has been around 2,000 years. And this is where you have a pipe. The Romans used ceramic. We use metal, 4-foot-long metal pipe. And we dip the end of that pipe into the furnace, this cauldron of molten glass, mm-hmm. and we scoop some of the molten glass out on the end of it, and then we're able to manipulate it. We can make much, much larger things doing this style of glass blowing than someone who's doing torch work. They're limited in what they can make. So we can make huge. The other difference is torch work tends to be solitary, and the kind of glass blowing we're doing the ancient way requires a lot of people. So it tends to draw folks who are social and loud. Mm-hmm. And enjoy yeah. getting together. It's a very communal activity.
We're talking with Abby Gitlitz about the Great Glass Pumpkin Patch and the Bloomington Creative Glass Center. Years ago, I worked in a jewelry store that carried Waterford crystal. And I'm just going to, is crystal glass?
Crystal is glass. So here's the difference between crystal and the kind of glass I use.
Okay.
So all glass is not created different. All glass has different chemical compositions in order for it to do different things. So think about if I were making a Coke bottle, I'd blow it into a mold and I'd want it to set up instantly so I can make my next Coke bottle, right?
Right.
If I'm blowing glass, I want to be able to work with it for a while. Waterford crystal has a lot of lead in it, mm-hmm. and that makes the glass soft, which means I can grind it. If you try and grind things like borosilicate, which is a very hard glass, it wants to shatter. If you add a lot of lead to it, it makes the glass softer, which allows you to grind it, which is how the Waterford crystal has all those fabulous facets in it. Mm-hmm. It's all engraved in after the piece has been blown.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is fascinating. It really is. So where would somebody find your work in Bloomington?
I have my stuff at By Hand Gallery.
Okay.
And then you can also contact me. My email is agitlitz, G-I-T-L-I-T-Z, at hotmail.com.
Okay.
And I do all sorts of commissions. I've got a commission right now to do some hanging lamps. I do commissions. I do some cast glass. I do all sorts of crazy stuff. Cups for people, awards. I did all the awards for Cardinal Stage this year.
Wonderful.
So yeah, all sorts of stuff.
And we'll put all of Abby's contact information and information about the Great Glass Pumpkin Patch on our website and on WGCLRadio.com and also on Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. You have an exhibit starting off tonight as well, correct?
Correct. I have a solo show at the Waldron Arts Center. Opens tonight. It's called Waterlines 10 Years After Katrina. I actually lived in New Orleans when Katrina hit, mm-hmm. and I was one of those displaced persons. So in the space of 2 months, I lived in 7 states, stayed with 18 different people, and it took about 2 months before I found a place to stay. So Waterlines looks at my journey of what it was like to be a refugee, to be completely dependent on others. And it takes the viewer through the places that I stayed and the interactions I had with the people who took me in.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever go back to New Orleans after Katrina?
Only to clean out my stuff. And also I go back every year for Mardi Gras.
Okay.
You know, I can. no, it turns out that if you have 2,000 degrees glass and then you submerge it in water, bad things happen. So the place where I worked was completely destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't have a job. I didn't have a house. Most of my community was displaced. So I didn't. I ended up moving north of Seattle to an island and living on an island in Puget Sound for a year.
Amazing.
And, yeah.
Where did the glass blowing come from for you? Where did this start?
I actually started, my love of glass started here in Bloomington at Bloomington High School South. I took a stained glass class, not by choice, just it was the only thing that fit in my schedule. And I fell in love, absolutely fell in love with glass. The color of glass is unlike any other medium because you can see through it. And you can get this richness of color that I found very attractive. Plus, it's a little dangerous, so that was fun. And then after college, I went actually to Cedar Point Amusement Park.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a glass-blowing pavilion there. And while all my friends were riding the roller coasters, I was mesmerized and watched this person blow glass for hours. My friends kept coming saying, Abby, let's go ride the ride. I'd say, give me a minute. So then I actively sought out someone to teach me, and that's how I ended up at MIT. They have a glassblowing program, and so I learned how to blow glass there.
And of all of the pieces that you have created and done, is there one particular piece of pride someplace or one that just that was a wonderful experience?
Well, I would say there are two different things. One is the experience of making things with the group. And sometimes when I'm making stuff that's really big, really wild and crazy, I have 8 assistants, things are going bad, loud music is playing, mm-hmm. bits are flying off. That's when it's the most fun. In terms of the actual pieces that I'm most proud of, there are 2 of them that are going to be in this show. One is an homage to another glassblower, and so I've adapted some of his styles, but then put my own spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
And another is a piece I did that's half forged iron and half glass, and it's a particularly unsuitable for children wind-up toy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Works.
And both of those will be in this show, so come check them out.
Okay. And this is at the Waldron starting tonight. Mm-hmm. How long will your show be going on there?
It's on until October 26th.
So pretty much the month of October
yep.
then. Okay. Yep. And we'll put all of this, like I said, on our Facebook page and what have you. But again, rain or shine, next Saturday is the sale, if you will, of the Great Glass Pumpkin Patch. Mm-hmm. Well, last question. Will people who were involved in the design and creation, will they be there as well to kind of say, I made the purple one or the green one's mine or here's the story on the red one?
Absolutely. Look for the volunteers in the bright orange T-shirts. We'll all be wearing them. Okay. And everybody you see in a bright orange T-shirt is involved in making the glass in some way and can talk to you about it.
Awesome. So next Saturday, the 10th, 10 o'clock in the morning, Monroe County Courthouse. Get there early because it was a line around the block last mm-hmm. year. And go down to the Waldron and check out Abby's work as well. This is awesome. I really appreciate this. Ooh. Great experience.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely.
I love talking about glass.
We'll be back in a couple minutes. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Just a couple minutes left in the show, so let's get you some high school football updates here. Of course, as I mentioned, if you're catching us Friday night, Terre Haute North at Bloomington High School South. That game is kicking off at 7:30 this evening, so Joe Smith will have Chalk Talk at the top of the hour in just a few minutes. Also, this evening, Edgewood is welcoming Brown County over to the Mustang Corral, and Bloomington High School North, they're headed to Franklin Central tonight, so that's your local high school football schedule there. And then, as I mentioned early on in the program, next week here on WGCL, it is Short Show Friday, and Southport's going to be coming down to head to Bloomington High School North for that game. This tomorrow, October 3rd, is the last Reds game here on WGCL. They're out at Pittsburgh, 7:05 for that game. And then we get into playoff season. And I know that Mr. Piller's loving what's going on with the Cubs right now. So I'm just going to kind of let this ride and see how things shake out from there. The big news, though, obviously, across Indiana over the last several days regarding football has been what's going on with the Colts. Last week, they won against Tennessee Titans. It was a little bit of a rough game. So we're now 1-2 up in Indianapolis. Our next game is this Sunday, the 4th. Jacksonville Jaguars are coming to Indianapolis. We'll have the game here on WGCL. 1 o'clock for that. However, in the last week, there's been a couple things that have come out about the Colts game. Number one is that Andrew Luck was injured in the game against the Tennessee Titans. Has kind of been on a day-to-day basis throughout the week, and we'll see how things shake out before Sunday's kickoff for that game. The other big news, which I don't think is coming as much as a surprise, is that Chuck Pagano, the coach of the Indianapolis Colts, is not too happy, and there's a variety of reasons behind this, but there are rumors and rumblings that Pagano will be leaving at the end of this season. I don't think that it is necessarily a team issue as much as a staffing issue on both on the bench and in the main office. I'm not the guy to answer these questions. I'm really not. But I can tell you that there is just frustration, and you can see it in Pagano's face, and you can hear it in his tone. A 1-2 start in this day and age with the Colts is just not a happy experience. And there's been a lot about it. Bob Kravitz has written about it in the Indianapolis Star. I can't answer these questions. I'm not the man for it. I'm not the talent behind the scenes. But what I do hope is that Pagano will give it all that he can, just as we would expect the coach to do and all the players to do as well throughout the season. So you're going to have all of your Colts action here on WGCL, and I'm sure that Bob Lamy and the crew will be talking about that this Sunday when we welcome the Jacksonville Jaguars here to Indianapolis. Speaking of NFL on WGCL, we got some more games coming up over the next week. Also on Sunday, 7:30 kick, we've got the Dallas Cowboys at New Orleans Saints for that game Sunday night. Monday Night Football here on WGCL, 7:45 p.m., the Lions at the Seattle Seahawks. And then Thursday night next week at 7:25, so just a few minutes after Your Money with David Hayes, the Colts are taking on the Texans here on WGCL. As we've talked about, and it's been a couple weeks since we've really gone into it, but we've got virtually every game that matters in the NFL season, let's be honest. Every primetime NFL game on Mondays, Thursdays, and Sundays. We've got select Sunday games when the Colts aren't playing. So we've got the Colts, but when the Colts are off, then we've got somebody else in the field. And we've got every playoff game here on WGCL, and we're going all the way to the Super Bowl on February 7th, and it's the 50th Super Bowl, so this is your place for action. Speaking of action, Saturday, the big game out at Memorial Stadium. Chuck Crabb talked about this with Mike Glasscott earlier today. 4-0 for the Hoosiers right now, but Ohio State comes to town. It's a near sellout. It probably is a sellout by the time that you're hearing this broadcast. I think there were a few student tickets left, but Ohio State travels really well. So that game will be out at Memorial Stadium this weekend. Get out there while you can. It should be a good time to tailgate, and if you want to see red, they're the ones doing it. And don't forget to mark your calendars for IU basketball. Hoosier Hysteria, Saturday, October 25th. There's no home football game that weekend, but this is a donation experience. They want you to bring canned goods to that. So we'll have more as we get closer to the date, but put it on your calendar, Saturday, October 25th, Hoosier Hysteria at the semi-in-process renovated Assembly Hall. We're going to take a break, wrap up the show. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here. Just a couple of minutes left in the program. Thanks again to Abby Gitlitz from the Bloomington Creative Glass Center. I have trouble getting that out of my mouth. But the Great Glass Pumpkin Patch, don't go tomorrow or Saturday if you don't go this morning. It's next weekend. All of the information we'll have at facebook.com/thebloomingtonreview or wgclradio.com when the podcast goes up there on the Bloomington Review page, usually by noon on Saturdays. So you can check that out. But mark the calendar, Saturday, October 10th, 10 o'clock in the morning, Courthouse Square. If you want to go Friday night and see the preview, you can't buy, but you can see the free preview. That's the 9th, 4:30 to 6:30 at the Unitarian Universalist Church on Fee Lane and the bypass. Your weekend forecast, it's wet, but it should be a good time with Ohio State in town. Friday night tonight, 40% chance of rain, cloudy with a low around 48. Saturday game day out at Memorial Stadium, 20% chance of rain, cloudy with a high near 58 degrees. Saturday night, low around 50, another 20% chance of rain. And then mostly cloudy on Sunday with a high around 67. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it looks like we're in the low 70s during the day. So a very nice weekend forecast for sure. All your weather, all the time, right here at WGCL Radio and WGCLRadio.com. Briefly, before we to get out of the program, let me give you some updates from Visit Bloomington of what's going on this weekend. Friday night tonight, if you don't want to hit high school sports, it's the first Friday in the gallery walk. And we mentioned that Abby has a showing at the Waldron Arts Center tonight. So head down there and meet her and tell her you heard her on the radio. On Saturday, IU Women's Soccer welcomes Iowa. That game is at 7 o'clock at Bill Armstrong Stadium. It's also Oktoberfest at Upland up on 11th Street starting at 11 o'clock Saturday morning going to 1 a.m. all day long. German food, German beer, German garb, German music, maybe just all kinds of cool stuff. So head up to Upland if you want to catch some Oktoberfest experience. And then there's different things as well, but since we're running out of time, head over to visitbloomington.com for all your information. You can see what's going on around the community and Southern Indiana. And in fact, next week is the start of the Covered Bridge Festival over in Park County in that area. So that's an awesome experience if you haven't ever been and you want a true Hoosier tenderloin and the canned goods and the antiques and all the good junk. Head over to the Covered Bridge Festival next weekend. Hopefully Mr. Pillar's feeling better soon, and we will see him in the not-too-distant future. We've got some fun stuff lined up for October here on the show. So just as always, facebook.com/thebloomingtonreview, and of course, wgclradio.com. We appreciate everybody. Have a great weekend. Have a great month in October. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.